Christ and that you're trying to pick up your campaigning here. What indications do you have that you are weak here, and what are you going to do about it?
Well, I didn't say weak. I said we had a lot more to do in the Midwest. The headline came out, Dole said we're slipping. You know, that's the way it goes. But I'm very candid about it. We want to carry the Midwest. It should be the base of our strength. The farm prices are down. They're not where they should be. And farmers are naturally restless when prices are down. In addition, there's still some hangover effect from the embargo. But it seems to me once they understand Carter's position on agriculture, which is no position, and his position on embargoes, which is to have embargoes, they're going to take a hard look at this, both tickets, and vote for President Ford.
Now, you mentioned the farming issue. What do you and the Republican Party have to offer the farmer in this area?
I think in the first place, I can personally offer 16 years of legislative experience in the Congress, 8 years in the House, 8 in the Senate on the Ag Committee. The President has advised me that I'll have a very important role in agriculture come January. And it seems to me that our future in agriculture is exports. If we don't export, the farmers will not profit. And I'm going to have, according to the President, a very vital role in that area. In addition, I know a little about farm legislation, and I'll be working with the Congress in my role as Vice President.
This weekend you were on the West Coast. You had a chance to talk with Ronald Reagan.
Right.
He's been out of the campaign spotlight quite a bit since the convention. Did he indicate to you that he will be getting back into it?
Well, in fact, he is back into it. He had just returned from visit to Mississippi, Missouri. I think he may have been in Louisiana. He's made two spots for the President Ford. He's had the 30-minute TV program on the platforms. All in all, he's done an outstanding job, and we had a very good 45-minute visit. He told me, just keep hitting Carter on taxes, keep hitting him on taxes, and we're going to keep hitting him on taxes.
Now, most major polls, you and the Republican ticket is down from the Carter ticket, and you mentioned today in your speech that in the next 35 days that we will see a change in that. What prompts you to say that?
Because of the movement, we've moved from 32 points behind, and the latest poll, I think, today is 5 or 6 points. That's got to be movement. We have the momentum. According to the New York Times survey, Ford clearly won the debate, 37 to 24. The undecideds and the independents are moving to President Ford. There's just a lot of movement, and also movement in the South. And we believe when you add it all up, it means victory on November 2nd. It's a tough race, don't misunderstand me. We need a lot of help, and we just hope people look at our ticket, their ticket, make a decision.
Now, you brought up the debates. Now, obviously, there's been a lot of controversy about it. The Democrats saying Carter won, many of the Republicans saying that Ford won, of course. Do you think that's an effective way to campaign, an effective way to really bring out the issues?
The debate, well, I think the first debate was more of a joint press conference than a debate, but I'm not quoting Republicans. I'm quoting polls taken by the New York Times, which is not a supporter of the Ford ticket, believe me. But they've taken surveys from people across the country. But as I've also said, the only poll that counts is one on November 2nd. That's how you decide who won the debate, whoever won the election. But there's a similarity between the Ford-Carter debate, a parallel, and the Nixon-Kennedy debate, where Kennedy clearly won the first debate in 1960. Ford clearly won the debate last week, and now we're moving in his strengths into foreign policy. It just seems to me that he's demonstrating to the American people that he is the president and he has the ability. And in addition to that, he has the confidence and projects the leadership that most Americans are looking for.
Now, several times you brought up that Mr. Carter has presented three different views and that the review yesterday from today and tomorrow will all be different. Can you give us an example of some of the issues that he's vastly...
Well, let's take defense. I can give you all kinds, but I know we only have an hour or two on this program, but in 1972, he was saying we shouldn't cut defense. In 1975, he was saying we ought to cut defense $15 billion. Now he's saying we ought to cut defense $5 to $7 billion. Let's take right-to-work laws, Section 14B of the Taft-Hartley Law, which says you don't have to belong to a labor union. He's had a position where he supported right-to-work laws, where he said it didn't make any difference, where he now says he'll sign the repeal of that section, which would require everybody to belong to a union to work. And those are two good examples, and there are many, many others.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you. I think, first of all, we can offer them responsibility in spending, and as I said in my speech, in government controls, and cutting back on some programs to make certain that the dollars are wisely spent. President Ford has pending a bill that would help this area. When unemployment reaches 7%, you have special aid into that area. That bill is still resting in the Democrat Congress. They haven't acted on it. We have a multitude of other programs that, of course, help people right now are unemployed, whether it's food stamps or whatever. But I think basically and essentially it's a sound recovery. We've cut the inflation rate in half. 88 million Americans are working. 3.5 million have gone back to work the last 17 months. And we just believe that's progress. That doesn't help the fellow who's out of work now or the woman who's out of work, but it's the right course. And I haven't seen Mr. Carter mention anything but the Humphrey-Hawkins bill, which makes the government the employer and costs $20 to $30 billion.
But how can a Republican president and vice president accomplish these tasks with a Democratic Congress?
You put the emphasis on the private sector, and you have the Congress responsive to the needs of the American people, those unemployed. And you give the incentive to private enterprise, whether it's agriculture or business or whatever, to put people back to work. And if necessary, you pay for part of that wage through a tax credit. And I think it's a good program. I think many of the Democrats would buy it. I've just seen on the other side of that coin is having a freewheeling Congress that we have now with no restraint, with a Democrat president, a very liberal Democrat, Governor Carter, who says he'll, in effect, take anything they want to send him.
You've been hitting Mr. Carter extremely hard on his issue of taxes, and he contends that you are continuing this misquote of him concerning a $14,000 median income, and that's what will be taxed. Are you misrepresenting?
Oh, I'm not even quoting, I'm quoting him. I'm quoting Mr. Carter. Of course, he's had so many quotes in so many different magazines, some I wouldn't want to quote. But I'll quote the Associated Press interview. And I'd like to ask the unemployed people in this area, you know, they know what $41,000 is. That's how much Mr. Carter took off his taxes. He only paid 12.8% of his income in taxes. It just seems to me when he's talking, it's hypocrisy. He's being a hypocrite when he says, I'm going to help the poor people, and when they don't know he took $41,000 off his tax bill last year. That's all we're saying. We're just saying, you know, what do you intend to do, Mr. Carter? What is tax reform?
How effective do you feel the debates have been, or the debate so far? There's three more to come. How do you find them? Do you feel that this is a good means to bring out the issues?
I think it's, you know, the best means available. It's much like a joint press conference because you never really have that give and take with the debaters. You go through a panel, sort of a buffer zone, you might add, or might say. But it's a good form. I think if people are concerned and interested, they have a chance not only to see their candidate or see a candidate, many haven't made up their minds, but they get a lot of ideas.
Some have criticized the first debate as being rather dull, boring, uninspiring.
Right.
Did you find it that way? And if so, what can be done to perk them up?
Well, I think if you make that conclusion, I think one area that I would agree on, there's so many statistics referred to that you'd have to have a computer on your table or a yellow tablet and an accountant to figure up all the programs and how much they cost and how much was saved. It just seems to me that the American people really want to determine who has that confidence and who projects leadership. They're concerned about programs. Don't misunderstand me. They can't write down and digest everything in one evening. So I think they could be zipped up a little.
The hole you spoke in this afternoon is being considered as a potential site for another debate. Have you anything to add to that? Do you think it would be a good place to have a debate?
You're talking about the debate with myself and or Senator Mondale or
either one.
Well, I can't debate.
Are you going to recommend to President Ford that this be a good site for a debate?
I understand the Mondale staff and my staff are meeting today to talk about locations. I don't really care where the locations. I wanted to go south where we could talk about Senator Mondale's very, very liberal voting record, where he's for gun controls and bigger spending programs and cut back on defense. Seems to me that he's very vulnerable in that area, as he should be in this area, so I wouldn't have any objection.
Concerning another presidential debate, are you going to make any recommendations to the president about this site?
Well, I understand, and I don't know, that the next debate will be in San Francisco, and their last debate will be in Williamsburg. So I think their sites are already selected.
There will be no chance of having a debate here.
As I understand it, the sites are selected. But I think we ought to be out where the people are. We don't want any debates in Washington. That was suggested as a place where Senator Mondale and Senator Dole might debate. I'd like to get out of that Disneyland east and move out into the country.
In light of Mr. Carter's experiences, you think Mr. Ford ought to give Playboy an interview?
I can't think of any reason he would in the, quote, foreseeable future, which would be the next 100 years.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Just... of any kind of executive house cleaning, should you and President Ford be elected, and if so, in what areas?
Well, I think you talk about house cleaning. I assume you're talking about cutting back unnecessary employees in any department. I think that's something we all have to take a look at. There has been some erosion in the White House itself. The president reduced the White House staff. There are other areas, other agencies, where they haven't filled vacancies trying to reduce the total number of federal employees. I think much depends on the direction we go on programs. We can't continue to enact big spending programs and then ask fewer employees to carry them out. We start cutting back on programs and we take a look at the employees.
Some American and foreign political leaders have criticized Henry Kissinger and the job he's done. What's your assessment of Mr. Kissinger and his job?
Well, I think overall Secretary Kissinger has done a good job. He's had the very, very tough assignment. He's been dealing the past few weeks with a very explosive situation. Seems to be sort of falling apart now. Maybe it can be put back together. He went through the whole Vietnam, or not the whole, but part of that. Worked out a settlement there. He's been involved in the Mideast. It's easy to find fault with anybody who does something. But I think on balance, I could probably pick out some areas where Kissinger, I didn't agree with Secretary Kissinger, but I think on balance, he's done a good job.
Some political observers have also said President Ford is still in trouble in the Farm Belt.
Here's the Senate committee for 8 years. I opposed the embargoes. I think it was a mistake. I've said so. I'll have a major role in the export policies of this administration starting in January. I know agriculture. Just seems to me that I can be very helpful to the American farmer.
Is that why President Ford chose you over some Eastern vice presidential possibilities?
It may have been a factor. I think we understood that in the Farm Belt there were some problems. I don't know. He's never said he's just picked me out for that purpose, but I would guess it was a factor, a legitimate consideration, because I come from the state of Kansas. I'm fairly well known with farm groups and farm leaders and farmers themselves.
President Ford was in Alabama over the weekend, and George Wallace appeared with the president.
Right.
Do you believe that appearance was merely cosmetic, or is that a trend of presidential preference change in the South?
I think, just take Governor Wallace's word for it, he was there because he had respect for the office of the president. Though I did note in another area of the South, the wife of the governor of Louisiana endorsed President Ford, Mrs. Edwards. Governor Edwards, of course, is a Democrat. There is a lot of change in the South. There's a big movement in the South. If it keeps on moving at the rate it's moving now, we're going to win a number of southern states.
Michigan 70, Navy 14 over the weekend. Is that an indication of anything to come on November the 2nd?
Well, come to think of it, I hope so. But I guess he did go to the Naval Academy, Mr. Carter, and Ford did go to Michigan. So, or at least that's his home alma mater. I hope it's a trend, but I don't want to say anything bad about the Navy. They're going to vote for us, too. Ford won everything else, but that period was a standoff. Carter didn't lose any ground while it was not on. Well, I understand that we have a great number of candidates here and good party workers, good supporters. Tom Railsback's daughter, where is she? Yeah, right there. I hope we get as many votes in this district as Tom Railsback does. If that happens, we're going to have a great big victory. And I would only say that, of course, Tom's a longtime friend of mine and one of our outstanding members of Congress. We are seriously counting on Tom to be a great help to us in his congressional district. And we're also going to elect a nice young fellow over across the line named Jim Leach. We're going to have a new Republican in that area. I want to say one word about our campaign. Speak very frankly and very candidly and very hopefully, because I think it's moving in that direction. I said yesterday in Los Angeles, or Garden Grove, I guess it was, that we have some problems in the Midwest, and I said it very frankly and very candidly. We've had those problems for some time. It's nothing new. But I do believe, and I do detect, and I am informed that there is movement in the Midwest, and the movement's in our direction. It just seems to me that once the American farmer and those who live in rural America understand the direction the Carter platform or the Carter ticket might take them, insofar as agriculture is concerned or spending is concerned or defense is concerned, you name it, and it's the wrong direction, plus the heavy, heavy influence of organized labor in agriculture, I think farmers will take a hard, hard look. And I've been in the Congress and I've been in the Senate from a farm state. I know that when prices are down, farmers are restless, and they tend to be against the party in power, whether it's Democrat or Republican. But I think in this case, when you look at their platform, it's really a McGovern platform. All we have is a new leader. Instead of the name being McGovern, the name is Carter. It's just as liberal. It's just as far to the left. And I only ask my farm friends and those who live in rural America to take a cold, hard look at what Mr. Carter offers. And he hasn't said a thing about a farm program. Oh, he's made a couple of statements about he's for some cost of production program, whatever that is. He says he's for grain reserves. And I don't know many farmers who are for grain reserves. We had something like that when Orville Freeman was Secretary of Agriculture. And every time the price of corn got to $1.10, he found some out-of-condition corn to dump on the market. Now, Secretary Freeman has since confirmed that. In fact, this year in an interview with the Journal of Commerce, he said when prices got high, he sold government stocks of corn. I don't believe American farmers want that. I think they want to take their chances in the marketplace, but they want those chances to be unfettered and free. They want free access to world markets. And as I've just said in an interview in the other room, I've had experience in agriculture. I'll be playing a very important role in the Ford Dole administration in agriculture, particularly in the field of exports. And I just say, keep that in mind. That's where the future for agriculture lies, in exports. That's where the future for farm profit lies, in exports. So I just hope that you'll take a good hard look at us. And I don't want to dwell on agriculture, but it's very important. We're not going to give that vote to Carter. He doesn't deserve it. He has no program. He has one promise after another. So we're just very happy to be here, and we're going to be doing a lot of work in this state, in the state of Iowa, and in other states in the Midwest, not because Bob Dole can come out and make the difference, but because I can at least come out and talk about agriculture, talk about other programs of interest to all Americans, and then let the farmers and others in small towns and in agribusiness make the judgment. I want to say one word about defense. I don't know of a single American who doesn't want to cut defense waste and defense spending and all the fat out of the budget. But I do believe that we've got to take a cold, hard look at, again, Mr. Carter's promise. He said in 1972 we shouldn't take anything out of defense. He said in 1975 we ought to cut it $15 billion. He says this year we ought to cut it $5 to $7 billion. I don't think I want to be number two in the world. I don't think America's young people want us to be number two in the world. We want to be number one for the sake of peace, and that's what it's all about. And we're going to be number one with President Ford, and that's why we need your help. And finally, my first campaign appearance was in Seattle, Washington. Governor Carter had gone there, and he said, he told the American Legion Convention, I'm not for general amnesty, but I am for general pardon. Well, I looked it up, and it says the same thing. Amnesty means pardon. Well, there's not going to be any general amnesty or general pardon or general clemency under the Ford Dole administration. And I hope the day never comes that somebody has to fight again for this country. But I'd like to know what would happen if this were the case. We just granted some blanket pardon or blanket amnesty. And frankly, I'm still concerned about the hundreds who still may be in Southeast Asia as missing in action. And I think we ought to concentrate our efforts on those forgotten Americans and not on those who forgot America and turned their backs on America in a time of need. And that's what it's all about. So, We appreciate your help. I don't like to go around now and visit. If you have any suggestions right now, I'd be happy to take those back to President Ford or use them myself. We're not perfect. Don't misunderstand anything I've said. We've made mistakes. I'm certain you could look at our voting records and say, well, I don't agree with that, I don't agree with that. But I say on balance, we're head and shoulders. We represent the conservative to moderate view. They represent the very, very liberal view. When the Liberal Party of New York endorsed Governor Carter 2 weeks ago, they don't endorse moderates. They don't endorse conservatives. You've got to pass a litmus test to get that endorsement, and he got it. So don't anybody here in this area say, well, Carter's really a conservative. There's nothing conservative about Carter at all. Not his running mate, not his platform, not the endorsement by the Liberal Party. So I just appreciate this opportunity to try to set the record straight, if I have. If I haven't, I'll try again. But I've met many local candidates. That's what we really need in this party, to build a strong party from the bottom up, not from the top down. Anybody have any questions or answers or anything else? If not, thank you very much, and we'll be around to visit.
To be able to say hello, because I lost my voice last week. For about 3 days, I couldn't say a word. And for a Southern woman, that's quite a problem. But I'm delighted to be here with you. And let me just say that it's a real pleasure for me to be on the campaign. And we sort of hit the ground running, you know. We weren't expecting this. And when we were out in Kansas City, we suddenly found ourselves in the midst of a very exciting couple of months as the campaign unfolded the very next day in Bob's hometown, Russell, Kansas. But I'm particularly enjoying traveling around and having an opportunity to get out with people, to relate to people, to hear their ideas and their suggestions. And you know, the response has been just wonderful. When we went through my home area, I'm from North Carolina, through the South, the response was just tremendous, which really makes me feel very encouraged about that part of the country. And then here today, it's been wonderful. The students have been very responsive. I've been serving on the board of trustees at Duke University, and I've had a chance to work with some of the problems on the campuses today, and the problems that students are involved with. And so I was particularly pleased to see that big crowd at the college today, the students showing their interest and their concern for the issues that are so important and that are facing our nation today. And as I look back, I think about my days in student government at Duke and how we used to wish that we could get to the Board of Trustees so that we could tell them the problems that we had and get them to help us. And we're trying to be more responsive now and to have the students participate in our trustee meetings, and I wish I'd had a chance to tell the students today that I feel they have so much to offer because they're very mature, they're well-educated, they're involved in the issues of our nation, they're involved at a local basis and state basis, and I think much more so than when I was a senior in college. We were sort of involved in our school activities, but we didn't look so far beyond. And I think today the students are more mature, they are involved, they're concerned, they want to know how the candidates stand on the issues. And I'm delighted to see this. I think they're looking way down the road to what our nation will be like 20 years from now, and they're not looking for stopgap types of answers that just apply to today and not to 10 years or 20 years from now. And I think when they study the issues that they're going to end up going with us on November 2nd, and I'm just really encouraged. Thank you.
Administration and Agriculture, Secretary Butts, and he's displeased a lot of farmers in this area over the last few years. Do you expect him to stay on if Ford is elected in November?
I really can't answer that. He's indicated some interest in leaving, in fact, earlier than now, but he's, as far as I know, said he would stay on through this year. Beyond that, I don't know, but I have an interest in agriculture. I've been concerned with it for a long time, and I know that I'll have some input starting next year when the Ford Dole administration takes over.
What are some of the recommendations you might make concerning foreign policy in the administration?
I think the policy itself, or the program, is fine. We're going to have to revise the target prices and raise the loan rates, maybe bring in the peanuts into the, get them out of the top subsidy program. I don't say that because of Mr. Carter, because I've never raised that part of it, because peanut farmers are entitled to the same programs, and we think we have some good programs, but right now prices are low, and that would make any Secretary of Agriculture, I might add, getting back to your question, unpopular. But on the whole, farmers like the programs. They don't like the prices. And when exports start picking up again, prices will start picking up again.
Senator, during your speech at Centennial Hall, you talked extensively about agriculture, and you talked also about labor and organized labor and unions and that kind of thing. Rock Island County is...
Pardon?
Rock Island County has a fairly high number of labor union members, and it's quite strong in this area. What do you think a Dole Ford administration would do for them?
It'll do for them what it'll do for other Americans, and I talked about the influence of labor leaders. We're going to get a lot of that rank-and-file labor vote because they're concerned about spending. They're concerned about the defense of our country. They're concerned about registration of guns, which Mr. Carter advocates and which Mr. Mondale has voted for. They're concerned about a loss of these basic rights they have through bigger government, and any way you slice it, you're going to get bigger government from Mr. Carter. And so when they take a look at the whole plateful, the whole ball of wax, so to speak, you're going to find a great many union members voting for President Ford. They don't follow the dictates of George Meany. I don't believe we'll see any great hopes for them as taxpayers by voting for Mr. Carter.
Senator, I think you're the only one of the major candidates to not have issued a statement on the status of your health. Are you prepared to do something today?
Well, I did that last week, and I not only gave the status, I gave 27 blood tests, my EKG, everything that I could, that the doctor, that even, I went into great detail, put it that way.
Senator,
but if the report's available, and you can, glad to give you a copy of it. I'm in good health, too.
You said in there that you felt the tide was turning in the Midwest for your campaign, but according to the most recent polls that I've found, you've dropped a few points in the last couple
Which
of
polls
weeks.
Are those?
I don't recall. I saw it in our newspaper.
Well, I understand, again, it's hearsay because it was transmitted to someone on our staff and handed to me this morning, that there is a new poll that shows us about 6 points behind nationwide. Now, that would be a plus. Again, I'm not certain which weekly magazine indicates that President Ford won the debates clearly 37 to 24. There's a shift among independents to Ford. All the movement is in the right direction. I don't suggest we're ahead. Never have. We're behind. We've got to try harder. We're still number two.
Which poll is that? Is that 6 points?
I'll have to check it and give it to you on
Newsweek. You talked about the
debate
center. The general consensus, no matter who won, was that they were pretty dull. Are the other debates going to be as dull, and is there any way to liven up that campaign?
Liven up the debate? Well, I guess it's all in the eyes of the beholder, but those who did watch it, though they may have thought it was dull, or too many statistics, I thought that, still rated Ford the winner, clearly. I'm not talking about this on my rating, it's the polls rating. And for the first time in a long time, Carter didn't reveal, his pollster didn't tell us what his poll said, which indicates they're bad. But I think we could liven it up some. I don't have any specifics, but we'll try to liven up ours.
How badly do you think the Lusk comment hurt Mr. Carter, and don't Republicans Lusk?
I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. Let him get out of his own web.
Let's take one more question,
Senator,
if we can.
According to a report, the take-home pay of an average American family of four has gone up 2 cents in the last 8 years. That isn't much of a...
No, we're still reaping the whirlwinds of the Democrats' last war. They've had four in this century. The last was Vietnam, and President Johnson was very reluctant to increase taxes at a time they were needed. They waited till very late, we're still a hangover from that. And in addition, we've had problems of our own. The inflation has been bad, but it's picking up. We've cut it in half. Employment's on the upgrade. And I'm always amused when Jimmy Carter cites his employment statistics. He fails to tell the American people that when he had that low rate, there were 500,000 Americans stationed over in Southeast Asia. So I just suggest that the American people are intelligent, sophisticated. They're going to see through those efforts.
Well, if Vietnam was a Democratic warship, Republicans offer pardons to those who refuse to fight it?
No, I don't. Why would we do that? We've had a case-by-case program. Many thousands took advantage of it.
Democratic war, as if the Republicans had nothing to do with it.
Well, we're in the minority in the Congress, and we didn't. President Kennedy sent the first troops over there, combat troops. So, you know, we can. I was in one of theirs, and we just don't want anybody to be in the next one.
One more question. You spoke in favor of Mr. Leach inside there. Could you tell me, as a member of the Senate and a person who's seen the performance of Ms. Vinsky, how you would evaluate that?
Very, very liberal.
Thank you very much.